What are we looking for when we assess therapy dog and handler teams? Today on the Therapy Dogs Australia podcast, Sam and I discuss the assessment process for our courses to assist those who may not understand the criteria and what we're looking for before we can pass a therapy dog and handler team. So let's get into it. Hi guys, welcome back to the Therapy Dogs Australia podcast. I'm Max, the social media manager for Therapy Dogs Australia, and my co-host is Sam King, the owner of Therapy Dogs Australia. How's it going, Sam?
I'm good, Max. How are you?
I'm good. A little bit chilly.
It's freezing cold here today because it's windy. So I am definitely having an indoors day primarily because it's freezing.
Yeah, I've got the electric blanket on.
Have you really? Right, yes. Now? Yeah. Okay, it's not that cold here. Hilarious. Okay, so welcome back, everybody. We did miss an episode. You haven't heard from us for about a month. We're just super busy. But also, if you would like, I did an episode with Panos, who's a dog trainee, has a podcast called Life with Your Dog. So if you want to have a look at that, I really love Panos's whole podcast. I've listened to a lot of their episodes. So if you're interested, it's the episode 216. You can go and listen to the whole summary of kind of what we do over there, as in what we do as animal assisted therapists. You can listen to that. The other thing is, in the background, we've been trying to organize some really exciting episodes for you guys coming up as well. So
there's got some good ones,
like quite a few things in the works there. It just takes a lot of organization. Actually, Max, that's something I've been listening to. I listen to a lot of podcasts where the podcasters are like complaining about, like, this actually takes up so much time and effort. And I was like, oh my God, it really does. Like,
yeah.
You wouldn't think, because we don't even really prepare anything. So,
not entirely true.
Well, that's what, in terms of, like, I think other people do research and stuff for their
episodes. Yeah, maybe you're right.
Which we don't. So, we haven't had to. We haven't run out of things to say yet, of things that we already know. So when we run out of stuff we know, we probably have to Google something and then
read
off Wikipedia or something. I don't know.
Oh dear.
I'm not doing it. It'll just be what I reckon forever. So buckle up, guys.
Picking brain, Sam's brain forever.
Literally. So it's being organized and matching up, because we want guests obviously to come and tell us what they're doing so we can all learn from them. And it's lining things up, man. Like, we're all busy, everyone's busy, so it's lining up times and that sort of thing. And some people need a bit of time and encouragement as well. Like, podcasting makes them a bit nervous, so there's all that sort of stuff that we do. But we, apart from that, but it is very time consuming. So
I might add, if anyone listening to this has suggestions, if they want to hear about a topic we haven't covered yet, let us know. We're always open to suggestions.
Or if you have come across someone that you'd love to hear on the podcast as well, let us know. Obviously, it needs to be something that we align with as well, but I'm happy to hear suggestions, but definitely topic stuff, questions and things like that. I think, definitely that's helpful if we know what people are trying to get from the podcast, because we want this to be a learning resource for people, so that you're always getting new ideas from us and others in the industry. So we've been really, really busy. We've got new programs coming out. Next week I've got, time put aside and recording new content and things like that. So keep an eye on our socials and stuff, that we'll be releasing a few things here and there, and I'm revamping a few things. So that's very exciting.
Very
time consuming. So that's all been going on in the background. We are going to be at the pet show this weekend.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The Brisbane Pet Show.
Oh, great, great.
It'll be Emily and I. So if you want to meet Emily, she will be there with me on the weekend. We've got a little booth somewhere in there.
Oh, I
It's
wish I was
exciting.
in Brizzy.
Yeah, we should travel, but it's so much work and effort and stuff. So anyway, maybe one day. This is though, like we did the first one. What was the dog lover show?
Yeah.
Earlier in the year. That was actually pretty fun. So
Yeah.
yeah, I bought
Great
a lot of
feedback.
stuff from the stalls. There's so many stalls. It's like so fun. It's just a big dog market. It's amazing. And then this one I think is like the pet show. I think it's like all animals,
Oh, that's going to be
reptiles,
fun.
stuff like that. Yeah. I should take my goats. They would just be just, that would be just absolute chaos.
Wreaking havoc.
Havoc. I can't remember anything else I was going to update everybody on, but basically we're busy, busy, busy. Oh, and one other thing. So Amy's on holidays. How dare she? She just sent me a
Oh,
photo
no.
from like Greece or something. So,
Oh.
okay. All right, Amy. Like, okay. Cool.
If
Well,
only.
we need
Amazing.
you back here. So if you could chop, chop, everything's falling apart.
Help. Everything's fine.
We said goodbye to the wonderful Caitlin at the end of last month, who has had a career change. So I'm very excited for her and what she's doing moving forward. She's found a new passion, which is a very Caitlin thing. Like she's very good at liking things and wanting to try things and stuff like that. So I'm pretty impressed with that. And she's moved on. She's doing some course in some kind of, I don't want to say because I'll get it wrong, but total career change. So
Good for
good on
her.
her.
Gonna
Yep,
miss her.
awesome. We are going to miss her. So Caitlin did the large majority of our video marking for our assessment videos. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because throughout this, like that's been on set and forget for me. I do mark, we'll talk more about this. I do mark videos, but Caitlin's been taking care of it. Now that I've been training up two new markers, and going through the process with them, it's really reminded me of some of the issues that make it quite challenging for us and challenging for the students. And so we're going to just sort of delve into that a little bit today, because I think there are issues that pop up that are avoidable. And we try and put as much information out as possible to prepare people for these assessments, but there needs to be the common sense factor as well. So, and I think that like with everything that's common sense, as soon as I say these things, it'll make so much sense and you'll be like, oh, of course, but you just don't know it until someone says it or brings it to your attention. You don't know that you know it, you know, like it's just one of those things that,
Yeah. I
is
imagine you
like,
also just need a refresher from time to time. Like, you might learn all of this and it might seem obvious, but some bits I imagine you just need a reminder.
People are doing reassessments. So they haven't, that's one of our issues is that, and we've got an assessment preparation folder. Some people don't know about that. I don't know how. So I don't know how these things happen, but yeah, we've got a folder that helps people prepare. It's got the criteria sheet in it. We've got all the stuff that we talk about during the course, but then of course some people's dogs aren't ready to assess when they finish the course. They have life get in the way, or the dog's not ready, or they're not ready or something. And they don't do their assessments until 6 months or so later. So they've forgotten, like, as if you wouldn't forget. I'd forget immediately. The second I log off, I'm like, bye, bye information.
Yeah. Well, there's so many little factors, so many little details you have to think about.
So I'm going to try and explain from the marker's perspective, so that the students kind of know what's in our heads, basically. Okay, so the assessment preparation folder, that has got in it the criteria sheet, the video submission form. It's the criteria sheet. You need to get into there every time, like every year. So if you're doing your assessment or a reassessment, get in there, because the form gets updated. So if you don't have the most recent form, then that's going to cause issues with the expectations of the markers. The video submission form, it's important. The reason we have that is it's to help the student to know exactly what's expected, like the parameters of what's expected in the videos, of what's expected in the activities. So we're talking about your obedience and manners activities, which is your sit, drop, mat, impulse control, doorways, recall, social walk. So what we're looking for in those activities, that's what's in the video submission sheet. What else is also in there is some self-reflection, self-evaluation, self-reflection questions. Those are important as well, because we're not just assessing the dog doing the activities, we are assessing the relationship between the dog and the handler. We're assessing the handler's capacity to handle the dog, and we're assessing the dog's capacity as well. So it's not straightforward. It's not like, did the dog sit? Yes or no. It's all that stuff that's around it as well. And as dog trainers, we are interested in that. That's like, I guess you could argue like, oh, well, the dog can do it or they can't. But I'm not about that. I just think that the dog and the handler need to be working well together as a team. Because that's what's fair on, like, I think almost every single dog trainer would agree. That's what's fair on the dog. So when we see handling errors, so things like inconsistency in your handling, talking too much to the dog, using too much pressure on the dog, using not enough pressure on the dog, you know, there's all those things that come into play where we would go, you know what, this is actually confusing for this dog and it's frustrating for the dog. And to look at you handling this dog, you look like you don't really know what you're doing. Like there's not, the confidence isn't there. And remember, I'm coming from the client's perspective as well. So the client doesn't want to be around this dog with this person who's not really confidently handling the dog in their therapy session or walking through their hospital, or do you know what I mean? Like you are actually, and I've said this before, you're becoming a professional dog handler. You're adding this to your job description at your day job, or if you're doing volunteer type, you know, hospital visits or community outreach stuff, you're quote unquote selling yourself as a professional dog handling team. So I'm a professional dog trainer. Our markers are professional dog trainers. Amy's a professional dog trainer. We had to go through a proper full-blown certificate course, and it's a pain in the bum. Like that, those certificates, like there's a lot of work involved in that, especially when you're doing it on the side. Like we've all, you know, Amy and I, like it's, we've upskilled with that on the side. So there's a fair bit of work in it. We don't ask that. We don't ask that of our therapy dog handlers, but that absolutely could be an expectation in the future. So
yeah.
It's an expectation in the equine therapy field, like that you have that formal kind of accreditation. So we haven't asked for that, and no one is asking for that yet in the dog space, but that is totally something that would be acceptable to ask. I think it's unnecessary. I don't think it's necessary, but I can see where we could end up in that position where we've asked to have formal dog training modules, statement of attainment of formal modules. So just keep in mind that we're aware of that. So as far as an industry level goes, I know you love your dog and you think you can handle your dog and you've been taking your dog into your workplace for 6 months anyway and blah, blah, blah. But we're looking at it from an industry perspective, not just you and your dog. We're trying to look at it from, this like macro level as well, which, as I'm going to discuss, then we have to apply this to individual teams and individual settings and situations. So back on track. So your video submission form, right? That's got your criteria on it. It's got some self-reflection exercises, some questions in there. The trainers, the markers, they don't read that first. Okay. We watch the videos first. Why? Because we're going in unbiased. So I want to mark those videos unbiased, and then get my scoring of it and what I think, and then go back to your video submission form and see if we are aligned in what you think you put in the videos to what we've seen in the videos. Look, a lot of the time it aligns.
Which is
There are,
good.
which is great. Great. Tick, tick, tick. So when it doesn't align, that's a red flag. Now, there's plenty of reasons why it doesn't align for some people, for some videos. There are times when we have given teams specific instructions around this dog has had hip dysplasia, so it's not doing a 60-second sit. Stuff like that. Like, this dog has whatever, so it's doing whatever. That's your opportunity to speak to the marker is in that form. Okay. So everything that's important for them to know, put it in the form. If you don't communicate in that form, and then we come back with our scores on whatever we reckon, then we go back and give the scores to the student, and then they come back with extra info. I just think you guys aren't realizing this takes us so much time to mark these videos. And I have to pay people for their time because that's the law. And it's the right thing to do. So when you guys come back and forth and you haven't prepared your assessments correctly, and then it takes time for us to sort through it all, like there is a, we lose money on these, definitely, definitely lose money on the actual video marking itself, because it's such a multi-step process and there's always back and forth. There's always what's something's missing or this isn't
Doesn't make
signed,
sense or
something's whatever, or they get their score back and they're not happy. So now we've got to go back, or anything that comes back, any videos that we get that are sort of a bit of a concern, or they're not like what we expected to get from that team or whatever, they're usually remarked before the score even goes back to you. So if you're going, if you've been brought down a level or your videos are not competent or you get a learner level or something like that, generally speaking, your videos have already been double marked. So there's been another marker who spent the time watching your videos and then reading your video submission form and then reviewing the feedback that's been given on your marking sheet. This is expensive for us to do,
Yeah,
okay?
that's a way more of a process than I realized. I
Yeah,
mean, I'm
it's
like aware of
huge.
the basic steps, but that's, yeah, massive.
Yeah. Yes. And so we have had to adjust this a bit, because I can't afford to keep doing it that way, where we've been sort of cutting people a bit of slack here and there. This video is missing, or this video is not up to standard, or whatever. And Caitlin and I were sort of just, ping-ponging the videos back and forth, and 3 weeks later, someone sends in their drop video that's correctly done or whatever. And then we go back and edit the form. And, she watches it, I watch it. They mark, we get a mark that goes to go back, be edited. We have to edit all of your case notes and whatever to say. We've got a second, resubmission. It's been marked at this. The initial marking thing's been changed to this, blah, blah, blah. So there's a paper trail of like what has happened here because it's important, guys. We're saying, when we mark these videos at this standard, we're saying, yeah, we've looked at these videos. This is the standard that they are. So we need to have our paperwork in order for that. Okay. So please read your forms, is the point of that big rant. Read the form. there will be criteria on the form. So for example, our drop video is 5 minutes per drop. You need to do that 3 times in an unbroken video. So we'll be over 15 minutes long. Okay, because you're going to have your releases in there, give the dog a bit of a play and a break and that, and then do the next drop. So the video itself is going to be like 20 minutes long. Yes, it's annoying to upload a 20-minute video. You guys will remember from your courses that all of our lectures are on Google Drive and they're all, you know, they're up to an hour and over an hour long. So yes, it does take time. If you upload them straight from your phone through the Google Drive app, that will save you time. I guarantee you that's the fastest way to do it. But anyway. That's only I think certain phones don't do it or whatever. Anyway. Okay. So on the criteria sheet, it says I've done 3 5-minute drops and you've like, it's like a check tick box.
And thing. You tick it off that you've done it.
You tick off that you've done it.
Yeah.
That many times the box is ticked, the drops are not 5 minutes long.
Oh, interesting.
There's not three drops in an unbroken video that are 5 minutes long. So straight away, like if your dog can't do it, then your dog can't do it. But don't tick the box saying that you've done it. And then don't also come back and say, I didn't know it was meant to be like that. Because you've ticked the box in like, what is happening here?
Like silly things.
It's exactly. And no judgment from me, honestly. I really struggle with criteria sheets. Like I've got this, as I just said, the equine therapy, they're expecting this statement of attainment. This is it's fun for anyone that's watching this. Here are the 4 modules that I have to do for instructing horse handling statement of attainment. We're stuck on module 1. I've done all the quizzes because they were easy because you just click through, right? Module 1 has an assignment. It was very stupid. I just can't do it. I can't do it. I just can't bring myself to do it. There's like no information on the criteria sheet, or I don't understand the criteria sheet. Highly likely it's the latter. That's what got me my entire school and uni was criteria sheets. Understanding the question absolutely got me every time. So I get it, guys. No judgment from me. However, you've got someone who can't read a criteria sheet that saved their lives trying to write you a very easy to understand and follow criteria sheet. So if there is room for improvement on our end, let me know because I will fix the sheet. Like I get it. I'm not like they just need to figure it out. That's not it. But I am saying read it, which again, I probably wouldn't read it. So I'm certainly not going to read it properly. I'm one of those people that I'm just going to scan like the first sentence and the last sentence and I'm just hoping for the best. So
I'm someone that overreads everything. I'll go, did I understand that right? And I'll like read it a million times until I've made it way more of a big deal and a mess than it is.
So I had to teach myself how to do that in uni because I couldn't, I started to realize that I was answering the wrong question. So my work was the answer to a question that no one asked me. So you don't get a very good grade for that.
I want to answer this though.
And I was devastated. I remember, I'll never forget one assignment that I did. I won't tell a story because it goes on for so long, but I was so pissed off. And just like
the amount of work you would have like, put in.
I put so much work into this thing. And I even had a meeting. When I got my mark back, I had a meeting with the tutor because I was like, I just don't understand what went wrong. And she was like, so yeah, no one asked you any of that. And I was like, fuck.
No one asked you.
That was my first year.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't exam well, but I had to teach myself to get good at assignments because I don't exam well. So I would highlight in different colours things. So I can't work. So the reason I'm holding up manila folders for everyone who's watching is because all of this had to be printed out because I have to be able to physically hold the paper to read it. I can't read it off a screen and understand what's going on and all, like, what they want. Look at all this stuff not filled out.
Oh, that's a big list.
So I totally get it. I had to teach myself to highlight things in different colors, like different to try and, yeah, I get it. I get it. However, the information is there. It does exist. If you have similar challenges, that's okay, but you're going to have to own your role in that. So yeah. I didn't abuse the shit out of my tutor of my criminology introductory whatever in university. I didn't abuse the shit out of the tutor because I read the question wrong. So I just accepted the mark, which was terrible, and I was really annoyed. So that's, I want to help people to manage their expectations around that too. So if you don't read the form and you don't access the information, we will help you towards a pathway of fixing that, but I'm not taking the full responsibility of that, okay? So make sure you have a little think about that before you email me.
Is there a structure you recommend approaching, like doing the assessments or reassessments?
Like actually filming them, like getting
them
done.
Like, like just focusing on one video and one bit at a time.
Yes. And be smart about it. Like don't, so some people go out and they get someone to film them and they go and do them all in one day. Don't do that unless you've got a dog that is very happy to do that kind of thing, because the dog's fatigue. And remember what I said, we're looking at the whole picture. So we want to see, you know, that the dog is their best version of themselves, basically. So don't wear them out by doing this stuff all day. But there's things that you can do. So like the mat stay is a 5-minute mat stay. Do it at the cat, go to the cafe, go to your flipping local cafe, take your mat, put the dog on the mat, you know, wander around, go and do whatever. There'll be people walking past. You got to set your video up, blah, blah, blah. There's ways that you can get around this that makes it not such a pain in the butt to do. So
yeah, a little bit more fun.
Yeah. Like, and a lot of it. So like your recalls. Okay. So, I had a training session with someone on Friday down at the park. And she was like, oh, it's just like, we've filmed all our videos. It's all uploaded. We just haven't been able to get the recall right. So, you know, haven't got the video. And I'm like, I tell people, don't let these things hold you back. Like, we've got our, you know, that we've got our Monday night fortnightly classes. It's $20. It's a group classes, maximum of 5 of you in there. I will make time for every person to ask their most important questions, you know, like it's an hour. So that's enough time. So, and there's never 5 people in there. Last week there was 2 people in there. So do you know what I mean? Like if you were splitting that
time,
you're
practically getting
half an hour each.
Yeah. Bargain.
You know?
For $20.
And people rock up to that class with nothing. They don't have any questions. So they're just hanging out and seeing what everyone else is doing. So they're happy to just like listen in, you know, they learn something from that. And I'm like, I'm fine with that. Whatever. But anyway, we've got these classes. Get help and get it done, because we filmed her videos in the session, in the training session. Because I was like, okay, if you just adjust this, like these like 2 things here, and I'll, you know, get you started. And then you adjust these 2 things here, this dog's going to do the recall. So let's just, and we did it. And then we just videoed it. Now our videos are done. So if you contact, it's get in contact, let us, if you get stuck, get in contact, let us know, book the classes. That's heaps cheaper and more accessible. Or if you're local, then you can book in a one-on-one session too, but that's, I think it's overkill for a lot of stuff, but you can do that if you want to. You're just doing little laps. The cat just got up and did a lap of the desk and then straight back. What are you doing, mate? What are you doing? Okay. I want there to be some sort of structure to this so people aren't wasting their entire time listening and not getting the answers that they want. So read the video submission form. If you get it wrong, that's okay. But you'll be taking a responsibility for that. And what I mean by that is that you will need to resubmit videos if you want to get your score up. So if you submit videos that don't meet the criteria, depending on, and this is where we're going to talk about it's hard for the markers, depending on the video and what's missing and all that sort of stuff, it'll just impact your score.
Mm.
You can get a zero for a video. Like if you give me a 1 minute drop video, I'm going to give you a zero for that because it's outrageous. This is outrageous. You might as well just not submit a drop video. Like, just don't do it.
It's also wasting money, like, because you have to obviously pay for the assessments. So if you're not going to do...
This is what we're discussing.
Yeah.
Paying for resubmissions.
It's expensive.
So if you pay for an entire resubmission, so that's what we've always sort of said, is that if you fail your videos, then you can resubmit them, but you need to pay for a resubmission. At the time of recording this and since the beginning of time, we've charged $150 for a submission of videos. Just saying at the time, because that's what we charge right now. So if you fail and you need to resubmit, where this is not working is that you might have only failed by a couple of points, and it might be because you didn't read the criteria properly on one of your videos, right? We don't need a whole resubmission of every video usually for that sort of thing. There are certainly some people that send in 8 videos, 9 videos, and the lot of them are just, there's no way, no, absolutely no way that you're anywhere near professional dog handling. This entire thing needs work. But there's plenty that come through where we've gone like, you've put your dog in a sit at the boundary. That's not a boundary. Mm-hmm. That's a sit. We can't mark it. So that's a zero for that. It takes like 5 minutes to record and upload a decent boundary video. Do you know what I mean? So it's like not, why would you, we ask for a complete resubmission of all your videos? That's ridiculous. So what we're doing now is we're charging per video that you resubmit. Because the other thing that's happening too is that people are getting like learner level or level one, or maybe even our guys who are reassessing, maybe they were trying to get to level three and they're just, you know, just underneath, and they want to get that up to level three before waiting for next year's submission. If you want to resubmit videos, that's fine. But we have to charge per video, because what we've been doing for the past 3 years is not charging people for it, and going, oh, just send through, you know, just redo that one video. And then we are paying for it. So, and what I mean by that is I'm paying the wages of the people who are spending the time on it. So we just can't keep doing that anymore.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that there's just a fee that's attached to it. So that's just all, it's actually making everything cheaper for everybody else. And it also is just a sustainability thing for us as well, that we can actually pay the markers to remark videos and redo paperwork and all those things, because it is incredibly time consuming. So read your video, find the video assessment preparation folder. If you do not have it, email Emily, courses@therapydog.com.au or info@therapydog.com.au, and say, oh, I'm getting ready for my submission. Where's the info? She will give you the link. All the information's in there. We'll even put a link to this podcast in there. Read the form, watch the videos that are in there, because they explain, not everything is in there, but they do explain a lot of the activities and things to avoid, which we will also touch on here. So that video, that folder exists, okay? Fill in your video submission form correctly. Sign the waivers. There are two. Sign the waivers at the end of the form. If you have information to give to the marker, which is not me, it's not going to be me. It's highly unlikely I'm going to be marking your videos. I will be remarking them if there's an issue, most likely. But it's highly likely I'm going to be doing the initial marking. So if you've got something, so what is happening is people are emailing the videos through, and in the body of the email, they've got, hey, you know, da da da, this is like, you know, my drop's shit because of whatever, but like, we just, you know, we're just getting it in because that's just what we needed to do. Don't write that in the body of your email, because that's going to go to Emily. She's not marking the video. So put it in your video submission form where the marker will actually see it, and they'll see it after they've marked your video. So they'll do their initial mark, they'll read your video submission form, and then they'll make adjustments to their marking sheet if there's anything in your video submission form that suggests whatever, like it, that there's some kind of, yeah, like, you know, this dog's 11 years old, that's why it's not holding of whatever, you know, like whatever, whatever it is, that's got to go. Sam told me I could do blah, 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 blah. Put it in the video submission form because the markers need to know about it.
Yeah.
So that's all about communication. It's no good coming back to me after the fact when we've already done all the paperwork and remarked everything and blah, blah, blah. And we've said, here's your score. You can either accept this score or you can resubmit videos. This is the fee. Don't come back to me then with the additional information. Please, please put it in your form because it will save us all the hassle. Okay. So what are the markers challenges? What are we really looking at and for and blah, blah, blah? One of the things I've been trying to explain to people is that professional dog handler thing, but we're also really what I want to get across, we can't mark the dogs in their work role 99% of the time. There are challenges with the taking videos. Like if someone said to me, your videos need to be in your work role, I'm a psychologist. So that's a no from me. It's too hard. Like, and I used to film videos of the dogs working, like, so for intervention stuff, and I'd get client permission and things like that, and I'd put them in the course and stuff, but it's too risky. I took it all out. Like, it's, even though I had the paperwork and all that sort of stuff, I took it all out. It's actually just too risky putting clients in videos. I really am uncomfortable with it. So I won't do it. I'm not doing it. So there's some settings where it's more appropriate. So, you know, whatever they might be. But for my setting, it's not. So that's why, you know, I try and explain to whoever the powers that be, we can't all do that. Like, we can't all just do it at our workplace and have clients. You can set up fake clients and use your friends and family and stuff like that. That's a lot of effort. So I personally don't want to do that. So that's why we don't ask for people to do that. If you want to do that and show us that, that's great. You're probably going to get a great score on your videos. Because when the markers are watching your videos, what we're thinking about is what setting you're hoping to take the dog into and what this level of work that we see in the video can inform us about where you think you're taking this dog. So for example, if you're telling me you're taking this dog into a school and then you film all of your videos with low distraction, so you're filming them in places that aren't very busy and you're not adding a lot of additional distraction to yourself and things like that, we're looking at that going, well, obviously you're not taking this dog to a school. So what I'm asking people...
Do you get that information? Sorry, Sam. Do you get that information? Because you say you watch the videos unbiased. But you must have at least a little bit of information before you watch the videos to know like the context of what that dog's going to be doing.
Yeah. We just get where they want to go.
Yeah.
Same for the temperament assessment. Where do you want to work with this dog? So if we can put ourselves in the marker's shoes, it's a big responsibility for us. The videos are marked on it's a scale of 0 to 5, with 5 being this activity is executed very, very well. The 0 is usually hasn't met criteria, or it's just totally unacceptable. Like this is just not acceptable. The three is that the team is able to do this task successfully. A two is they're able to do it with some challenges. One is like they're not really able to do this. Like there's a lot of challenge going on here. Which if you can't meet the criteria, so if you can't do for the amount of time that's expected and da-da-da, that makes sense that that's a one. Because it's the team can't do the task. That there's a lot of challenges. So you might be getting your way through the video, but you can't really do this task. A four is like, yep, they're doing like well. I tell the markers that I give a five if I look at the video and I can't really find anywhere to give you feedback to make it better, because it doesn't need to be better and it's already great and you know what you're doing. So that's where I kind of like, I don't really have anything to tell you back about it. So it's a, that's what makes it a five. We've got it in that folder that I'm talking about, examples of previously marked videos. One of the challenges about that folder is that we don't have a explanation as to why they got the scores that they got. So that is on my to-do list, just to review that folder. Because all the information we can really sort of put in there without doing a heap of work around editing and stuff is in the title of the video. So we can't, it's not us, like we really should, you know, talk over the videos and talk about why I think this is a five or whatever. However, in doing that, it's really hard to, they're hard to mark. The videos are hard to mark. We're looking at a few things. As I've already discussed, how's the handler working with the dog, consistency, timing, those sorts of things. That's stuff that your dog trainers are going to be looking for. Absolutely. There's just no, that's for the welfare of the dog. One of the things for us to consider is just distance and distraction. The duration is usually in the so distance, distraction, duration are the three sort of things that we're looking at. Duration's often in the criteria. It's not for all things, but for some of it, it is. So the duration's not a, you know, it's either it's done or it's not. Distance and distraction are things that you will do on a scale. So if you think about, some dogs can handle their, you know, they're put into a drop and their owner can walk 100 meters across the park. Some dogs can't do that, but they can handle you squeaking a toy or, you know, like things like that. Anything your dog can do, we want you to display the best that your dog can do, you know, like unless you're happy to get threes get degrees in the good old days, then you can do that and got cruise through. And, you know, I don't know what I would do, but I've certainly done that before. So I've done a lot of things that way. I'm fine with that. If you're happy with that, that's fine. But if you're going to try and tell us that you're taking this dog into a school, then show us that this dog can handle being in a school. It's very challenging for the markers to get an idea about the level of this dog if we can't see it there. So we are going to be stipulating on your graduation paperwork what types of environments we think this dog is appropriate for. So if you don't show us that this dog can handle XYZ, how would we know?
Like we just, yeah.
All we've got's what's in the video. So, you know, like,
what have been your favorite sort of settings, I suppose, and especially for school, because I imagine school therapy dogs is quite high in terms of like what the dogs need to be able to do.
Yeah.
So you said like a busy park, busy cafe.
I like it when we discussed this with one of the people that does school dogs. It might have even been in Robin Adair's podcast, but because I think she did it. But it's getting in for your reassessments, Do it as an intervention at your school with the kids. Like, get permission, get a group of kids, get permission from their parents to record them, and get the kids involved in setting up the activities and being the distractions and, you know, all that sort of stuff that I love seeing. If I see a dog in a school, it makes life so much easier. But you can only do that for your reassessments, because a lot of the dogs that are doing initial assessments, they don't have permission to be in the school. So, you know, they can't do it. So we understand that. But yeah, busy environments, go to your local cafe precincts, go to do your social work, walk through Bunnings, go to your local markets.
Markets.
Yeah. So the more you can show us, the better. And just to have that, you know, perspective taking that the markers can only see what's in the video. We don't have all of that background context that you have about you and your dog. The additional information is going to be in the video submission sheet if there's anything you want us to know in there. But remember, what you say is what you say, but what's in the video is what we can see. So don't give us a video and then say something else in the video submission form, because it's like, that's no good. You know, like that's, like someone's off-lead dog's hurtling towards someone else's dog on lead and you're yelling out they're friendly. Like, it doesn't mean anything to me that you think your dog is friendly. What means something to me is that the dog is hurtling towards my dog and I'm not having a bar of it. So there's a difference in what people say and think, and then what we can ascertain through actually watching the video. So keep that in mind. The markers are really looking to, how can I conceptualize this video in this person's workplace? If you're working in a school, remember that means that you as a handler, you've got hundreds of kids that you're dealing with. So if you're not a proficient dog handler yet, if you're still working on your dog handling skills, how are you managing all these kids approaching the dog and managing the dog at the same time? Whereas in a private practice one-on-one setting, I only have one or two humans to manage while I'm managing the dog as well. So there's, again, like a totally different level of challenge for the dog and the handler, the person that's handling the dog. It's a totally different experience. So the markers are trying to balance all that out and navigate all of that and go, okay, so one person's used, you know, they've used a lot of distance. They haven't really used distraction. Like, where does this end up for me on this out of five scale? Oh, the next video, like, oh, okay, well, they've used a lot of, they can't get any distance. This dog can't get any distance from the handler. Oh, there's a lot of distraction though. You know, like, so we're trying, it is not easy to mark these videos. We know that every dog and handler team is different. So we want to be able to mark you as individuals, but we have to have a scoring matrix. Can you imagine if we didn't have a scoring matrix and we just gave you back some random number, or we just gave you back some random pass or fail?
Pretty sure some places might do that. I don't know how they get away with it.
Yeah, they do. They don't score anything at all. And they just tell you, or they just, everyone passes. Like, that's it. Congratulations. I've heard horror stories. So we're not a part of that. And I've said about a million times, I will continue to fail dogs. As much as people want to abuse me over the phone, via email, whatever medium you choose, word of mouth, there's a lot of shit talking that goes down. Like, yep, because I failed the dog. And the reason I failed the dog is because either you're not ready or we have not been able to see that you are ready. And both of those are not my fault. What we can do is work together as a team and move forward. Like the example I just gave you, I just recorded one of our students' recall videos after coaching her on recalls for the better part of an hour. And then was like, right, you got it. Let's go. Let's get this recorded. Let's do it. There have been times when I've marked multiple times where I've sat with people and gone through their videos with them and marked them one by one as they've submit the video one by one. I've done that. I've helped people in the Monday night classes. This is what you need to do with this video to get this over the line. This is what we need to see here. There are multiple ways that I will go outside the box. I think the only way that I've achieved anything in my life is by going around. Like, I don't get the privilege of getting, like I just said, I can't read a criteria sheet. Like, I don't exam well. Like, the only way that I passed my national psychology exam is because it just happened to be the case that I had, they let me in. So I booked this exam. They let me in. Can't remember if I told the story or not.
But you anyway. Have. Yeah, it's a good one.
And there was no one else in my lab, in my exam lab, and I couldn't believe it. And I was like, because it's a 3-hour exam. Like, there's 150 or 200 questions. It's huge.
Are there lollies?
Yes. So there are little bowls, of lollies at each computer. There's like 30 computers in there. I'm in there by myself. The chairs spin. Another factor. And there was a big, like almost floor to ceiling glass window looking out over the city. So guess who spent a lot of time spinning around on the chair, going and getting my favorite lollies out of every single bowl around the room, looking out the window. I just actually cannot even believe the luck. I don't exam well. The luck of, like, that was the jackpot for me. Because I probably need a flipping individual learning plan or something. I don't know, but I don't think they do those. So, like, I get it. I actually get it. And I work with people Monday to Friday. I work with clients. We're adjusting things all the time. Animal assisted therapy is an adjustment. It's an adjustment to therapy so that it can be more accessible for people. We are going to adjust things. If you can do it and the dog is right, but the assessment doesn't reflect that for you, we will work together to try and find a way to make it work. If you and the dog are right, what I'm not doing is putting dogs and handlers in these professional settings if they cannot have at least, they need a professional standard of being. The reason for that is because you are taking these dogs into a workplace where people, you're exposing them to people and telling them that the dog is safe and all these sorts of things. And you're taking them around clients and students who are there to access some kind of service. And we will not be having the dog distracting the handler, and we will not be having the dog distracting the client, and we will not be having the person's access to whatever service you're providing be negatively influenced by your inability to handle your dog, whether that's because you can't handle the dog very well yet, you still need practice, or if your dog's just a loose unit and they're having a great time and they just need, like the dog that, like on Friday, I was like, you're absolutely not taking this dog off lead. So we'll get this recall video recorded, but this dog is a zoomer. Brutal. Zoom, zoom, zoom. You say free and this thing's like yeeting itself. Yep. Hilarious. Hilarious. So cute.
Yeah, so fun cute. To watch.
I'm like this, and easy to mark. I'm like, this is easy to mark because I love when the dog knows the free and they
and they just, you know, let, like, it all out.
And I can clearly see that the dog's been reinforced. Yeah. Actually, we'll talk about that and write a note. So that's really like, but I was like, you're not taking this dog off lead. She was like, no way. There's no way I would take this dog off lead. And she works somewhere. There's another dog there. And she's like, they have their dog off lead because they can. That dog's a border collie. You know, and that dog doesn't run off and zoom around. And, you know, her dogs are brutal. So, and it's like.
A nutter.
Yeah, it's like already 4 or 5.
Yeah, one or the other, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's never going to grow up. So, but she's fine with that. And so, and I'm fine with that. Like,
yeah,
because it's all good. Like, we just need to manage this dog appropriately for what this dog is capable of, and, you know, how you're going to be able to do your job and manage this dog at the same time. So I hope that's clear for people, that what I'm saying about we want to problem solve and we want to work with you. But please just have reasonable expectations as well of, like, there's a minimum standard of what I'm going to accept, regardless of why it's like that. And that's because we need to protect the client and we need to protect the dog. So you're just one piece of the picture, handler, and you're actually the bottom priority. So the dog's welfare and well-being needs to be a high priority. The client / student / consumer / participant, their welfare and well-being is the highest priority. So if you, a great way to get started. So if we can't guarantee the welfare and well-being of our highest priority client, participant, student, whatever, if we can, then we need to put you on a learner level and have you go and find a nursing home to volunteer at, or find a school that you can visit, or, like, find things that you can do at the learner level where you're not acting in your professional capacity as a psychologist or speech therapist or dentist or psychiatrist or whatever it is that you're doing, because we don't want your client to suffer, and we don't want the dog needs bite-sized pieces as well. So that's why we have the restrictions that we have. But a lot of this is being taken into account when we're marking the videos, okay? So you have got all these hoops to jump through, but there's a reason that we have it like this, and it's because we're regulating ourselves as having this, you know, minimum professional standard, aiming for a high professional standard. And we hope that other therapy dog trainers are listening to this and, you know, are going like, oh, okay. All right, we're going to do that too. Good. Yes. And if you want to talk to me about it, send me an email. So that's what we're aiming for. The videos are hard to mark, okay? I need you people to understand they are hard to mark, because then it's not a perfect matrix, because the dogs aren't the same. All the dogs aren't the same. All the handlers aren't the same. You're not all going into the same settings. So what we're trying to do is look at things that we can have that are kind of like the foundations, and we can kind of like, okay, yeah, this makes sense. But things like, yeah, like, so there's all these differences in the videos, basically. And we're trying to, trust me, we're trying to get, if the dog's right and the handler's right, we're trying to get yous over the line. There's not many, so if it's freaking people out, there's actually not many people that don't get over the line, because I think we've got these videos and stuff, so you can watch it back yourself and have a look at it and see what you reckon. And yeah, if you're not sure, hit us up and get some extra information. Do the Monday night class. That's the easiest.
Oh, yeah. Very accessible.
That's the easiest for sure. It's on Zoom. So all you, everyone interstate, rural, whatever, you can do that, you know. Okay. One of the things that the markers are looking at is that the dog is getting reinforced. So many of you, you know, if you haven't done our courses, you might not know, but everyone else knows, we have swapped treats as our reinforcer to a social reward. So praise, pats, play are our go-tos. What can happen is the handler can get a little bit, they forget. So telling the dog free, which is our release, or whatever you use is your release, that's not enough. We need to actually reinforce the dog. So we need to be able to see that. As in the videos, it is hard. Some dogs are really like, they're sort of slow engine speed dogs, and they're tricky. It's tricky to see, like, does the dog feel reinforced from that? You know, those are really hard to mark. Okay. Don't be surprised if the marking comes back and the marker's saying, like, look, this isn't looking very good. So we need more information. Like, those are some of the ones that we've had to really work through a lot of additional stuff. Not a lot. We've needed to get additional stuff to get a clear idea of the dog's personality. And we want to make sure that the dog is right for the work. So if the dog's really ambivalent, apathetic, we've talked about this before, like, then are they a therapy dog? You know, do they enjoy praise, pats, and play? Like, we need to know that the dog's going to enjoy this job. Otherwise, we're giving you very bad advice by saying that we think that this is a suitable therapy dog and handler team, because it's important for the welfare of the dog that we are considering that them in the picture. Look, we really, it's super important. If we don't do that, we're going to burn the dog out, and that's not nice for the dog, and it's not safe for people interacting with the dog. So we're trying to avoid that at all costs. Those are tricky, tricky dogs. They're tricky dogs to pass through a temperament assessment, and they're tricky dogs to pass through a obedience and manners video assessment. So if you've got one of those dogs, please just be aware. It's hard. It's really hard for us. Okay. I know you know the dog. It's hard for us. Okay. We may need more information.
How often, Sam, do people transition from treats to other reinforcers? Is that quite common? Like if they've been doing using treats before the course and then they come to us.
Yeah, super common.
Yeah, yeah. So it's definitely possible to change those reinforcers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we get a percentage of dogs that have never worked for treats because they're not food motivated. We get a percentage of handlers that haven't relied on treats because it's just not their vibe. Like, you know, we like to use treats for puppies. And there's certain things like trick training, we use treats, like, you know. But we're trying to swap our reinforcer so that during the day when you're working your job, wearing a treat pouch and, you know, getting dog slobber everywhere and got your dog's full attention on you the whole time because you're wearing the treat pouch and, you know, like we're just swapping out the reward for something else. And like we say, if the dog's not willing to work for praise, pats, and play, it's not a therapy dog, because those are social rewards. And being a therapy dog, guess what they get all day? Praise, pats, and play. So if they won't work for those things, then they're probably not suitable and you should go and do agility or, I don't know, like, I don't think they even use, I think they use toys. But yeah, go and do something else with the dog that is going to be more up their alley, because otherwise they're just going to be assaulted with praise, pats, and play every day that they go to work. So, you know, not wise. So we need to see we need to see that the dog understands the release. I know that's hard. So some dogs, like, for example, they're in a drop and we give them a release. Sometimes they're just happy to stay in the drop. And technically.
Bless
them.
I'm just going to stay for a bit longer.
You know, technically, they can choose what they want to do in the free, but that's hard to mark. It's really hard to mark, guys. Like, far out. So if you look at the bottom of your criteria sheet, there's something called the bonus round, which I think we have talked about on here before, but a while ago. The bonus round is an opportunity for you to show us your dog's personality and what it is that makes them special. So the reason that the bonus round exists is because when I did my NDTF training, and I had to do my assessments with my dog, I was very, very, very angry about how difficult and annoying and stupid the assessments were. I thought it was dumb. It was so specific. You want to talk about specific? Lord help me. They were very specific. Like, it was to the T. The dog had to do exactly this. And, you know, you had to do it in a low distraction environment and a high distraction environment. And I had trouble because I was doing the, like, 10-meter leg weave with Oliver, and I accidentally kicked him when I took a step, and then he wouldn't hold his position. They had to, like, sit beside you, right? In it, like, stay in position. And then you could say weave and take a step. Take a step and say weave or whatever. You're only allowed to say weave. You weren't allowed to use any luring with your hands. And then you had to walk for 10 meters with them weaving with no extra command, and then finish. But you had to do it four times in a row, and they had to do it perfectly 3 out of 4 times. So I flipping kicked the dog, like shoved him with my shin, just collided, and he was offended by that.
More sensitive boy.
Yeah, wouldn't hold the position. So when I would take the step to weave, he would scoot out to the side. And I tried to convince him, I tried very hard to convince him that, like, you know, the stepping out is fine. But it was, I just was like so annoyed at the situation. And I was like, you're on a timeline and all that. And we'd made all this progress. I was right towards the end of it. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I had to swap dogs to my old Labrador, who just learnt it like straight away. And I was like, oh, okay. Anyway, you had to keep a training journal. And mine was just like just verbal abuse written in this like training journal the entire time. Cause I was like, this is such a waste of my time. This is so ridiculous. Blah, 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 blah. Whinge, whinge, whinge. Because what I had a bee in my bonnet about is that my dogs were awesome dogs. And I knew, like, they're therapy dogs, and the impact that they've had on hundreds of people's of lives over the last however many years far outweighs this stupid exercise of, you know, da da da, which of course wasn't the point of the exercise. The point of the exercise was that you could train a dog. That's how you get your dog trainer's certificate. So anyway, but I was like highly emotional because I'm very attached to my dogs, and I felt like they were being judged like not that well by a stupid task that had nothing to do with what their actual skill set was. So I ranted and raved in my, I had to delete my entire training journal before I submitted it and make up some stuff about how fulfilling the journey was or whatever. some bullshit about whatever that they probably wanted to hear. While I like just bottled up all of my emotions. All the rage. That's why I wrote all my rage in the training journal, is because I was like, I just need to get this. Like, I had it. I was like, if you're going to make me keep this diary, then I'm going to keep this diary and I'm going to let loose. But anyway, I didn't submit it, obviously. So I get it. Like, I actually get it. So I have been in this position. And so Caitlin, just so you know, guys, Caitlin got seriously effed over by the whole process. And I won't go into too much detail, but like with her assessments, nailed it, dude. Like, she had the dog getting the block, like they had to pick up these blocks that spelled dog. And it was incredible what she had her Springer Spaniel doing. Unreal. Like, but got stuck in the, something had to do when they were marking it. They wanted something different or whatever. But when we looked at it, we were like, that's a joke. Like,
that's
a huge joke. And so that really helped. And Caitlin was pissed, man. And so she should have been. But when it happened, I was like, just remember this, because this happening to you is something that you need to remember, because you're going to be marking people on their assessments. So you've got to remember this feeling, because it sucks. So, and then we'd go through, like, you know, we'd be marking people's videos and I'd be like, remember that feeling. Like, it's just so infuriating. And from my experience, that's why we put the bonus round in, because I understand that our lame marking matrix is a piece of poo and doesn't show off your dog's excellent skills. We're largely looking at your dog's ability to not do what they want to do when they want to do it in these exercises, because that's what's important in professional dog handling. When you're taking them into the workplace and you're doing XYZ, we need to know that you can manage the dog. So that's why the assessment has got all this lame stuff in it that sucks. Where the bonus video comes in is that it's your opportunity to show us that, you know, your dog, we get the dogs riding in a canoe. You know, mine's like, my dogs are all on the stand-up paddleboard together, you know? Like, it's your dog's herding sheep. Your dog is
Riding a skateboard,
jumping through a hoop into the pool with one. Like, it's, the dogs are like playing on the swing set, or they're jumping on the trampoline, or, you know, it's all this stuff that it's so, or they're doing the tricks that you've taught them, or which is why, how we got, I think it was Nicole, was it Sophie and Nicole that did the podcast with us on tricks, because, you know, she had, and we show her bonus round video on that podcast, because it's this compilation of all these mad tricks that a dog does. So yeah, that's your time to be like, so you can curse me and the assessment as much as you want, but delete that shit before you send your email. Just like I had to delete my entire training journal too. Okay. So sending people abusive emails is only going to slow the process down. All right. I'm still going to work with you, and I could bring up probably 10 names, which I would never do, but I could probably bring up 10 names of people that have sent me abusive emails, and we've worked together.
We've worked through it.
Because I get it. I've been in this position. So I totally understand. We can try and work through this stuff, but you need to have that moment of thought before you hit send, or, you know, whatever it is that you do with your verbal abuse or written abuse, wherever you're posting it or whatever you're doing, just have a little pause for a second before you actually commit to that. Okay. Please
ask yourself.
trust me, because I had to learn that too. I had to learn that. I didn't used to not abuse people when I was annoyed as well. Like, so I used to crack the shits.
A skill we all need to learn.
Yeah. And then you get in, you know, everyone gets angry about it. So you have to learn not to do it. So when we get the feedback, don't think that because you're not sending abusive emails that I'm not going to care about your feedback. Like, I care about everyone's feedback. Like, that's the only reason that I honestly think the best therapy dog training company in this country is because we're actually it's not just a one person show. We're an amalgamation of every student we've ever had through the doors who's given feedback. So we've been curating this whole thing along the way. And then now we've got, you know, 100 dog trainers all over Australia who give us feedback too. And we've got, you know, we got people everywhere through this industry giving us feedback, and this is what they reckon, because I'm asking for it all the time. And we implement stuff. So, and I've had my own experiences and blah, blah, blah. So you can get annoyed, but delete your first email, whatever. You'll probably find if you don't delete your first email and you send it through, I won't reply to that one for at least 24 hours, sometimes 48 hours, so that everyone can just cool down. Usually in that time window, that a second email comes through. So, which is why I do it, because the first email is the initial,
wah,
fuck you, Sam, like, rah, 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 rah. And I go, okay, I get it, because I wrote all that shit in my training journal too. So we'll just give it a sec. And usually there'll be a phone call or, you know, something like that as well, and we'll hash it out. I intend to get into all that. But anyway, point is, we can avoid all that if we read the sheet. Submit your bonus video. You know, think about what you want to show us about the dog's personality. If you've got an apathetic dog that's going to be hard for us to mark, please acknowledge that. And, you know, like, point out things to us in your video submission form. And then, you know, do your bonus round and show us, like, look how mad this dog is at whatever, and have it walking down the street at the markets getting pats from people. That's the kind of stuff that we're like, oh, great. Like, the dog likes that. And the dog likes you. Good. Like, you know, show us your relationship. Show us these sorts of things. And, you know, like, we want to see the personality of the dog, and we want you to feel seen in terms of the personality of your dog and why you love them and what makes them special and what it is about your dog that our super lame assessment's not capturing, because we just have to do it because that's what's responsible for us to do in this industry. Think about that. Okay. Generally speaking, all the information that you need should be in that folder. I just really want you to remember, we can only see what we can see in the video. You are not to be filming your own videos, okay? So do not have your camera in your hand filming your videos. It is impossible for us to mark the handling of the dog. Impossible. We just have to, we have to get those resubmitted.
Mm.
It's not this is a therapy dog assessment. This isn't like for shits and gigs. this is a therapy dog assessment. So I just can't really, I just can't accept that. I just can't accept that we are not seeing the handler in the dog training video with the dog. We need to see what's going on. Okay. You're part of the assessment.
That's why we call it a team.
That's right.
And not therapy dog. Therapy dog and handler team.
You and your dog pass the assessment, not just the dog and anyone can handle them. Like, that's not the way it works. That's why it's, you know, you don't have kids handling the dog in the video. It's you handling the dog in the video. Getting the reason we have the three, we've got like, you know, three sits in an unbroken video, three drops in an unbroken video, three recalls, unbroken video. The reason that we have that is because anyone can get one good recall filmed out of 100 recalls three times. So what I mean by that is you can get three good recalls out of 100 if you film each recall individually. That's fine. We know that. Getting three in a row is harder. So what we're looking for there is that the handling is actually correct. If you have to correct the dog, so the dog hops out of position or the dog doesn't recall or the dog gets off the mat or whatever, and you need to put them back, do that. And that's fine. Like, we want to see the handling in the video. So
it's more realistic as well, yeah. Isn't it?
Well, yeah. We know the dog's not.
Like life.
I know the dog's not doing 100% of what you say 100% of the time. There's not many dogs that are doing that. So I don't mind being able to see, how do you handle that? Is it just like a free-for-all? The dog just does whatever it wants and you just like hope for the best or just start laughing? And we do absolutely get videos like that where people are just laughing and ha 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 and whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, it's pretty tricky for us to imagine that in a workplace. So I don't know what you want us to say back about this, but okay. I want you to have fun with your dogs, obviously. Like, I have a lot of fun with my dogs. I want you to have fun with your dogs. I want your clients to have fun with your dogs. We want to see your dogs' cute little personalities. And if they do something funny, that's fine. Like, great. Ha, we're laughing at them too. But let's make sure that we are being very clear in our communication to our dog as well. And we're not reinforcing the things that are going to make their own life more difficult. So every time that dog hops out of position, it's getting put back. So that's not what we want for the rest of the dog's life. We just want the dog to understand, like, hey man, cool place to be in position until I let you go, because that's where I need you to be right now. So I don't want people to hear that bit and go, oh, okay, cool. So I just, like, you know, put the dog back as many times. No. So if we can see that the dog is needing to be put back multiple times, we're going to know that the challenge is too hard for the dog. And or you've never attempted this before. So
like, <Yeah. laughs> trying to wing it.
We watch thousands of videos, mate. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I've seen thousands of videos.
Seen it all.
We get pretty, and you get good at figuring out probably what's going on behind the scenes here. And that's why, like, I can sort of lose sight a little bit and I'm, you know, just like, I can be very methodical about, this is exactly what's in this video and this is exactly what's going on for this dog and blah, 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 without considering that the handler's probably got something to say. So I'm like, I can see what's going on here. That's why we have your video submission form, so we can get, you know, look at what you guys have got to say as well. So keep that in mind too, because remember, so we have taught you this. Being a dog trainer is not about just asking dogs to do things that are too hard for them and hoping for the best. That's, or just forcing it or those sorts of things. That's not how it works. We got to train the dog. So if the dog, and I'm seeing this, and it's, I'm glad we're having this conversation, because I'm seeing this as well in the courses where people are jumping ahead five steps and they're just like, oh, I can get my dog to do this. Well, if you miss step one, step two, and step three, this is going to fall apart down the track, and it's actually not fair on the dog. So go back, stop rushing it, do your foundation steps, watch my training video library, watch the videos, go back and get the foundations correct, because you're going to save your dog a lot of confusion, and your own handling is going to be like muscle memory. Like, it's going to get so much easier if you go back and get those foundations right. So if we can see the dog's breaking position over and over, we're dog trainers. So we're going to be able to see usually why, and then we'll be up here about, so why is the dog being set up for failure here? Like, what's going on here? We want you to challenge your dog. We want you to show us what your dog can do. Absolutely. We want you always working on, you know, like, okay, like what can we do now? But if we are setting dogs up for failure, and then the dog's copping pressure because of that, that's not going to get you anywhere. And in fact, those have been more so that the assessments that have not fared very well at all. Because a dog trainer will take personal offense to poor handling of the dog. You'll never change that. So there's no point me apologizing for it. Dog trainers are dog people. We love dogs. So if we can see that the dog is being unfairly handled, and that's, we've all done it because we don't know what we're doing. Like, we've all started somewhere. Like, there's absolutely, it would happen, all happens all the time, accidentally.
Yeah, mistakes. Yeah.
Mistakes happen. Absolutely. Mistakes happen. And we're all on a learning journey and all those sorts of things. All right, buddy. So we've all been there. We've all, yeah. And that will still happen. Like, we still make mistakes. Absolutely. But if we can see, it's hard to explain. It's going to sound a little bit like probably mean, but if I can see that there's a total lack of effort from the handler, and that it's probably, I think the best word to describe it is like, it's just a clusterfuck. Like, it's just chaotic. I can see that there's no method. There's no pattern. There's no plan in place. We're just asking the dog to do shit. The dog doesn't do it. You put pressure on the dog. Dog might do it. You're just not taking it seriously. You know, like, the dog's not being supported throughout the process. We'll take offense to that, and it'll be, yeah, videos won't pass. Yep.
Mm.
Yep. And I don't think that there's a dog trainer in this country that I could hire to mark the videos that would disagree, because it is offensive. We, as the handler, have to take on the responsibility and be, you know, doing the right thing by the dogs, which is putting a bit of effort into what you're doing with them. I think that's going to be universal. So just be aware of that. Anyone that is listening to this is probably not on that list, probably. Maybe, but.
Well, the effort of listening to the podcast, I think.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, so I think that's most of the things covered around, like, sort of just a bit of insight into what it's like to try and mark these videos. It is very challenging. A few things to avoid, you know, don't film them yourself. Make sure we can see what's going on in the video. So make sure, you know, we can only see what we can see in there. So make sure that you're scanning around environments, like, you're like, oh, it's very busy here. Like, well, is it? Because I can't see that. Scan around, show us what's going on. Make sure you show us the free properly. Okay. Take time with the free. We want to see the dog being rewarded. That's very important to us. Make sure, read the criteria sheet is the big one. That's the main thing that causes problems, is the criteria sheet. Make sure you've got the most up-to-date version. We had someone recently, for whatever reason, their criteria sheet didn't have the time thing on it, the duration. Mm. Like, where'd you get this? Like, and I don't know. They can't remember where they got it, but I'm like, where is this coming from? Because I need to find it and get rid of it, because it's caused a problem for her videos, because she's not met criteria, because it's not on the form. Mm. I don't remember ever having a form with that not on it. So I think what's happened is at some point it's the form's gotten, you know, something's been deleted off it accidentally or whatever, and now this form exists. And I'm like, it's not our version, it's in a folder. So I'm like, where is this from? Yeah. So I can find it and track it down. I don't know. But anyway, that sort of thing, that's no one's fault. Like, that's, you know, like, well, we can't find whose fault that is, because we don't know where the form is. But anyway, it could be anything. But that's just an unfortunate event. Recent things have been things like it's very dark in the videos. We can't really see what's going on. We're looking at the dog's body language. Okay. That's something I should have mentioned. We're looking at the dog's body language. So we want to see the dog. So if it's quite dark, like it's nighttime or dusk or something, and we can't really see what's going on, that's no good. If we can't hear you, that's no good. Okay. So one of the things you can do is wear your Apple thingies in your ears, connect your phone to it, stay close enough to your phone that you can hear the recording. If you can't hear you, that's a problem. So we need to be able to hear what you've asked the dog to do, putting them into a position and the release. I need to hear those things. What other common things cause problems? Obstruction of view is really challenging. Whoever's filming you, like I said, do not film yourself. You need to be in the video. So either have a tripod set up, stay in the frame of your tripod, or have someone filming you. What's tricky is when the person filming has to pan between the dog and the person, because then we can't see the dog or we can't see the person. So I understand that that's going to be a part of what has to happen. But if you can try and plan out your environments where you're doing your activities and just think those things ahead and go, okay, well, if I set the camera up on this angle from this side, then I can actually move out all that way and you'll still be able to see, you know, the dog and hear me. We know that there's limitations to this. So if you're listening to this being like, well, that's all well and good, Sam, but, you know, it's hard. Yes, it is hard. My apologies. This is the easiest way that I found to do the assessments. If you have feedback, let me know. If the feedback is this is hard and it sucks, I already know that. So if you have an additional piece of advice, you're welcome to write this is hard and it sucks in your form if you want to. I get it. But if you've got something else where you can say like, oh, this would be easier if, I don't know, we filmed it from a drone. I don't know. You can do that if you want. Whatever. Put a GoPro on your dog. I don't care. No, I need to see the dog.
That would be cute.
Yeah. So if you've got, you know, like ideas and stuff, that's fine. Send those through so we can start to think about that stuff as well. But anyway, I know it's hard. I know it sucks. So, and there's certainly, it is absolutely a barrier for teams to get these videos in. I am fully aware of that. There are people that don't have people that can film them. I totally get that. I would not like to ask someone to do that for me. I'm not that, I don't like that. I'm not, if you know you're similar, then you know exactly what I mean when I say that. I would not like to ask someone to film this for me and spend their time doing that. So I get it. And tape your phone to whatever. Like, you know, you've seen all my training videos are all like dodgy as dodgy angles. Like, you know, it's all phone propped up by books and whatever. Take your phone out to the park, prop it up on something. Just to make sure that we can hear you and we can see the dog. What else recently? Gear. If the dog's wearing gear, make sure we can see the gear on the dog. I think that's probably it. If you've got questions, it's $20 fortnightly on Mondays. Rock up. If there's time, we can look at some of your videos. I'm not going to give you a score. I have in the past given people scores for their videos in those classes. I'm not going to keep doing that because it's not going to be me marking them. It's highly unlikely. So I think the wisest thing is that I give you feedback on the video, but we let the markers mark them. So that we don't just create additional confusion. We've changed because we've got new markers. We've had to change some of our admin around that. And it is to make it more streamlined for the markers, but it's less streamlined between us and the markers. So just, you know, that's put a few limitations on stuff as well. And that's just part of life. So yeah, we're still working through some of those things too. So I'm still working through with the markers on what's going to work best, make their job more streamlined and simplify things. So yeah, it's all happening. We're doing the best we can. So if you guys do the best you can as well, and then we meet in the middle, we just need to be able to get the dogs over the line in a way that is something that we could stand up and go, I'm proud of the decision that we made about this dog based on the information that we had. Do not ask the trainers to take your opinion as gospel. Do not ask the trainers to advocate for your dog on the marking of the videos. You need to advocate for your dog when you make the videos. That's your job. Our job is to make good decisions about the dogs and the handlers once the video gets to us. So once we've got the information that we've got on our end, we need to make good decisions based on the information that we've got. So please advocate for yourself and your dog in making the videos, which means everything that I've already touched on, which is show us what you can do. Yeah, that's probably in summary. Show us what you can do. If you're not sure, do a Monday night class. It is very challenging. So I was just going to say, you can send me an email to organize to do a consult or a Monday night class. It's really hard to answer these questions via email. It's not fast for me to find someone's video, jump in, have a look, and then type out feedback in an email. That's not fast for me to do. So it is heaps easier if you do a Monday night. So please either do that. It's $20. You can book an individual consult if you want to. But yeah. Happy assessment video making, guys. Information is relevant as of now, which is, what month are we in? June 2024. So if we've posted an updated podcast in 2 years time on this topic, probably we'll let you know that one.
Yeah. Thanks, Sam. Thanks for the chat.
No worries.
And for those that have stuck around to the end, thank you.
Yes. Happy assessment video making.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in studying with Therapy Dogs Australia or you have a few more questions before deciding, please get in touch with us by emailing courses@therapydog.com.au or visiting our website at www.therapydog.com.au for more information and FAQs.